From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Islamic State defenders in Fallujah launched a counterattack in the southern part of that western Iraqi city Tuesday, reportedly halting an Iraqi army assault on the predominantly Sunni city held by IS militants for 2.5 years. Iraq's counterterrorism service has been joined by regular army units, Sunni tribesmen, and Shia militia in the offensive launched early this week. The fierce fighting has raised the alarm among international and humanitarian organizations about the fate of an estimated 50,000 civilians trapped inside. Lisa Grand, deputy special representative of the UN Assistance Mission for Iraq, is concerned about dwindling food supplies.
We understand that there are widespread food shortages, and there have been since January, when access to Fallujah became extremely difficult for commercial convoys. I think we would characterize this as mass food deprivation. The shortages have resulted in literally thousands of families no longer able to eat 3 meals a day.
She says some families who managed to escape said they were down to 1 meal a day back in March, now had to skip eating for some period of time. She also expressed concern some civilians have been rounded up to be used as human shields by IS fighters. Ivory Coast former First Lady Simone Gbagbo went on trial in Abidjan Tuesday, accused of crimes against humanity and war crimes for her alleged role in post-election violence that killed some 3,000 people back in 2010. Gbagbo supporter Dagoud Spouse-Mensa says, "What about those who murdered our parents? We are victims, while the guilty," she says, "walk freely. Innocent people like the former First Lady are in prison." The Ivorian government rejected an extradition request to try Gbagbo at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. This is VOA News. The UN Refugee Agency Tuesday said more than 2,500 people have died trying to make the dangerous journey from North Africa to Europe so far this year, about 600 in the more than the same tragic pace of last year at this time. Nearly 900 have perished just in the past week alone in often unseaworthy vessels operated by smugglers out of Libya. More than 200,000 have made it to Europe, escaping poverty and war in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia since January. That's more than double the number during the same period in 2015. The U.S. government has issued an updated travel warning alerting U.S. citizens of the risk of potential terrorist attacks throughout Europe, targeting major events, tourist sites, restaurants, commercial centers, and transportation. It expires at the end of August. John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
It was a renewal. You know, we have to do these every 6 months, so this was a renewal. Obviously, it would have come anyway, but we took the opportunity, since it's the beginning of summer, to make our concerns known about the potential risk of terrorist attacks throughout Europe, particularly when you've got, you know, the Tour de France starting up, you've got this European Football Championship, and of course, World Youth Day, all of which is happening in June and July.
He said the State Department is urging Americans to exercise vigilance when in public places or using mass transit. Troops loyal to Libya's new UN-backed unity government claim to have captured a second town in as many days from Islamic State fighters as it tries to push the militants back toward their power center of Sirte. After overrunning Ben Jawad Monday, the Libyan forces recaptured Nafolia, both located near major oil terminals. Meanwhile, the UN envoy to Libya, Martin Kobler, Tuesday warned the North African country cannot hope to defeat the IS group, also referred to as Daesh, unless the various militia groups unite in common purpose.
The fight against the Daesh must be first a Libyan fight, and it must be a united fight. I think nobody acting alone would succeed. That's why it's very important, and my constant message to all security actors, be them in the West or in the East, to unite their forces.
Mm-hmm. Kobler, speaking in Paris Tuesday, said the IS challenge requires a military solution. He called for a unified command structure under Prime Minister Fayez Sarraj. Pakistan says the body of Afghan Taliban chief Mullah Mansour, killed in a U.S. drone strike more than a week ago, has been handed over to his relatives for burial. The decision followed scientific testing that confirmed the man killed in the May 21 attack was indeed Mansour. Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif underwent successful open-heart surgery in London Tuesday, his second heart operation in 5 years. According to his daughter, the 66-year-old Sharif, in power since 2013, expected to remain in an undisclosed hospital for about a week. Global stocks are in retreat ahead of a series of potentially major economic developments. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.